From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Putt putt for the fun of it.
What are you doing, Dave?
I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Tonight, it's Monday, February 14th, Valentine's Day.
And this is show, is it 106?
I have no idea because
I'm double checking as we speak. You think I would have checked that before we started recording because that would be the... Yes, 106.
It's 2011, by the way. So since this, this could be the year 2050,
It could.
And people are still downloading podcasts from the good old days before the terrible, before the troubles. And we're all laughing about it now, and someone in the future is like, oh, you guys suck. You're just making fun of the troubles.
You thought it was funny then.
Yeah, you don't have,
little
like,
did you know.
8 arms and no brain in your actual head. Your brain lives in a cloud. You wouldn't think that was so funny if you had to deal with that, would you?
I like the 8 arms part myself.
8 arms and a head in the cloud. It sounds like the most awesome disco dancer ever.
It's Tony Super Monero.
Hey, check this out.
How many minions we got? Did you check that?
See, I'm so bummed out. The reason I don't know what podcast it is because I keep track of that in the sound file on my Mac Mini, which went tits up, like, literally right before we were getting ready to do this podcast.
Yeah, tits up is bad. Then you would not know that we have 393 minions right now.
No way!
Yes way!
Oh my gosh, we are closing in on the penultimate minion. So go to paulandstorm.com to find out how to become part of the Brigade of Minions and be in the running to be the penultimate minion, because you want that. All right, we have one other little bit of business to take care of, I think, before we get into new business and things.
Sure.
And that is the response to Paul's query about his maybe cheating, maybe not cheating incident from school days has echoed not only on our website, but on other websites and on a podcast that we were on and other places. Paul, I believe you have a summary of the what you've learned, perhaps?
I do. I'm not going to go back over the situation. If you don't know what we're talking about, give a listen to the last podcast in episode 105. The poll results were split almost exactly down the middle. There were probably within the margin of error of it basically being a coin flip. It's 53% to 47% say that I was not cheating. But in the interesting discussion that ensued on the comments and such, basically people seem to split along two battle lines. And it's roughly what I thought it would be, too. There are basically those who approach cheating from the philosophical standpoint of cheating is when you do a wrong thing. And those who approach it from more a legalistic standpoint of cheating is when you break a established rule or agreement. Now, all that said, everybody, including me, is in perfect agreement that what we did was at best unethical.
Yeah.
We were certainly doing something that we weren't particularly proud of. Mm-hmm. And we didn't tell, the teachers about it. And all of that. While there have been some very good and strong and interesting arguments made, I have still not been swayed in my own personal mind to believe that what I did genuinely constituted cheating from a disciplinary viewpoint.
Yep.
And you know, we were guests on another podcast where we actually spent a long time talking about this,
like an hour.
Yeah. after saying, you know, we don't really want to talk about this too much. We don't want to dwell, but and again, I don't wish to dwell. And Storm, you're going to keep me from dwelling.
I will keep you from dwelling. I've got the boring cord in my hand. So
yeah. The thing I was trying to discuss in that podcast was, and I did a very inept job of doing it, trying to get at the point that there are degrees of cheating.
Yes.
And how I found personally this particular case, even were it to be cheating, I found it in my own mind. I justified it or rationalized it in my own mind in that it was not one of the more important types of cheating. I was trying to make a parallel, like, for example, a med student cheating on his or her, biology exams.
Right.
Or something like that. Something with a greater real world effect.
Or even in the same situation, breaking into a locked cabinet.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like a willful, you were seeking to game the system. This was something where it sort of fell into your lap and you did take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Versus.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, someone will probably argue, well, where are you going to draw the line then? Are there some kinds of acceptable cheating and whatnot? And I'm not going to get into that fight. But
we've done that. We've already gone through.
We have done that. But you're right. I think what it comes down to for me is I feel like it was something I took advantage of more so than cheated on.
But the reason we're here for you people is to help out with these things. So we can't dictate for you where you believe the line should be drawn.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I think we can all agree that what Paul and his friends did was unethical. So we can agree on that. But in this conversation that we had over 8 hours discussing this, I believe we have come up with a term that can be applied to these cases where it's certainly unethical and maybe some consider it to be cheating and maybe some don't.
Yeah.
We have dubbed this Canadian cheating.
Yes, that's right.
And the reason is nothing to do in particular with Canada.
Or its culture or its people.
No, just that our hosts of the podcast, and I'm horrible that I do not remember right now the name of the podcast. We will look it up before.
Oh, it was Geeky Pleasures.
Geeky Pleasures, of course. Of course, of course.
It's because we've done a couple in since we've done our last our own podcast. So
and moralizing in all of them.
Yes.
but yeah, oh, terrific podcast. Do seek it.
Yeah.
But anyway, she is of the Canadia. And she kept saying, like, well, maybe it's because, you know, I grew up here in Canada and we look at things this way. And finally, it just dawned on us that it was a case of Canadian cheating.
Yep. And the very last thing I will have to say about the subject and maybe why, in retrospect, I'm OK with it more so than maybe I should be, is because I did not, you know, prior to nor afterwards did I have any sort of a habit of doing that kind of thing. I have a crappy work ethic that I've had for all of my 40 years.
Yeah.
But I never, ever made a habit of cheating or cutting corners like that for, you know, anything academically or otherwise.
So maybe you learned something even more valuable than European history.
That's right. Thank you, Doogie Howser.
All right, we're out of there. We're out of there.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, that was it. I just said yes.
Okay.
I was agreeing we should be out of there.
Now, I have a thing that is, it's kind of exciting when things tie together with things that we were intending to talk about and things that come across on Twitter. So there's something that's sort of a, not a tooting our own horn, but a promoing ourselves thing that is like that. But I kind of feel like we should talk about some things that aren't just about us, since we've been moralizing and whatnot.
Yes, we have. So, yes, let's do that.
All right. There's the book series we've been reading. There's my experiment in healthy snacking. There's Valentine's Day. And these are all broad topic areas that I have notes for.
Sure.
There's the train. just some observations about trains. And then, no, I'm going to go with this one off of Twitter. Reverend DGB asks, what flavors don't you like? What flavor just like, yeah, screw that flavor.
Wait. Oh, yeah, that was a question.
Yeah, sorry.
For me, I mean. I thought you were just sort of stating the question that has been put to us.
Well, I was, but I was also posing it to you.
So what flavors don't we like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we could agree. We actually, between the two of us, we have a pretty varied palate.
Yeah, is healthy a flavor?
Green, I think,
yeah,
is.
Green.
Anything
yeah,
green.
Nutritious. I'm not a fan of the nutritious flavor.
Yeah, Paul can detect chlorophyll from 100 miles out.
Yeah.
It's moo-mommy is the... is the sensor on your tongue that senses greenness.
Yeah. Or the presence or absence of beef fat.
Yes. Yes. Until they start making plants that have beef fat, Paul will have no part of it. Avocados, actually. Anyway.
We're working on it in the lab, though, at Paul and Storm Central.
Let me ask you about that, though. You do. I have seen you enjoy green beans on many occasions.
I do love green beans, although my wife will derisively laugh at me in that I don't like fresh green beans.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the canned kind that have been sort of, you know, annihilated and cooked into submission.
It at least looks like something that could be served to you at McDonald's.
Right. Exactly. It's basically like I love the green beans from like KFC.
Yeah,
or I don't know if it's KFC or Popeyes that serves the green beans, but I love those green beans and I can eat them all day. I love corn.
And for the record, I don't want anyone to be under the impression that you eat at McDonald's because you don't.
You know, it's funny because I have a terrible I have a terrible diet, but I haven't eaten McDonald's in years at this point. Ever since I mean, even when I used to, you know, our kids to varying degrees were addicted to McDonald's chicken nuggets for a while.
Yeah.
And even when I would take them to eat chicken nuggets, I would generally refrain from getting actual McDonald's food for myself.
That place has always smelled to me like when you open the door, there is a smell, you know?
Yep.
And to me, it smells like couch farts. And not in the good way. You know, like a couch.
Oh, like not like the good couch farts?
Well, if it's all your own fart and it's fresh.
Yeah, true. If it's your own brand.
But we're talking about like a couch in the sitting lounge of a theater.
Like your uncle's sitting lounge, the one you don't like.
Right. It's got like the farts of 1,000 asses. And not the good ones. And there's one like arch ass that's sort of
the ur ass,
which carries the note. The most of it is conducting all of the other ones.
It's playing the brown note.
It's playing the brown note. That's what it smells like to me when the doors of the McDonald's open.
Uh huh.
So
okay, well that's good to know.
But that's not my not liked flavor.
Well, what would your not liked flavor be? I think I know what this might be, unless you're going to go take it in a different direction.
Well, you know, and I think I've talked about it on this podcast, that cucumbers make me throw up.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to count that because I think that's actually a physiological reaction. It's not like I just don't like the flavor.
Yeah.
But dill, I don't care for that flavor, and it could be because of the association with cucumbers.
Mm.
And I don't like the flavor of beets. I do not. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yeah, sorry, beet council.
Not beets. No good. No good.
I do not like the flavor of mayonnaise.
Huh.
Well, now that is there's like the chili dip that I make that I think I talked about way back when.
Yeah.
That had like every ingredient in that practically. I don't like the flavor individually. It has chili sauce is okay, but it has chili sauce, pickle relish, horseradish, cream cheese, and what's the mystery ingredient that I am forgetting? I always forget one. There's five of them, and I can never rattle them off.
Big Mac.
Cream cheese, horseradish, chili sauce. Oh, and mayonnaise. The aforementioned mayonnaise. And like I dislike all of those flavors individually, and it makes a chili dip that I love, and in fact have some in my fridge right now.
It's a killer dip.
Yeah, but mayonnaise, never a fan. Always hated it.
Now, I don't consider that a flavor, but I didn't care for it either. But I put it down to having grown up mostly Jewish, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny thing.
Is it treif?
I don't know if it is, but Jews just, by and large, in this country at least, don't eat mayonnaise.
It's Jews like, and mayo just do not mix.
They don't. And I had a half a sandwich from, we have a great Italian deli store called the Italian Store around the corner from me. Uh-huh. They make great cold cuts, and I bought one of their pre-mades, and it had mayonnaise on it, and it just kind of made me go meh. Like I don't think I dislike mayonnaise as much as you do, but yeah. There are places where it definitely doesn't belong to me.
Yeah.
And on an Italian cold cut sandwich.
Yeah, that's not right.
No, I mean, think about it. You're in Renaissance Italy, and you're walking down the street, and you're like, "Hey, I'm in Renaissance Italy." And you grab a sandwich. Would you taste mayonnaise on that? No way.
No.
Mayonnaise is not a Renaissance flavor.
That is a title for this episode.
That was interesting.
You know what else I don't like, which might surprise some folks, given my unhealthy tastes? I hate mustard.
All mustard?
Pretty much all mustard. I do not like mustard on anything.
Spicy mustard on a pretzel?
Don't like it.
Mustard that tastes like cheese?
I would be able to tell.
Wow. Interesting. I never noticed that. I mean, we've traveled together a long time.
Like 15 years or so at this point.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever noticed your mustard habits. You famously require no condiments on your sandwiches.
Yeah, no, I don't like things to get in the way of my sandwich flavors.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess the real answer for you, then, is you like the flavor of meat.
I like the flavor of meat.
Okay.
And starches.
Okay, meaty starches. That's the thing about corn, is it's sort of, it's Canadian cheating as far as it comes, as far as vegetables are concerned.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the most meaty of vegetables, you mean?
Yeah, or it's more of a pure carb, you know, I mean, you can build a house out of it, you know. you can't build a house out of green beans.
No, I suppose you could try, and don't even try to build a house out of leeks.
No, and leek scientists out there, do not harass us about it. We know you're working on it.
Yeah, I know somebody's going to send us a picture of a house built from leeks and prove us wrong, but we're just going to say that it's been shopped.
Yes, when we were on a Peace Corps project back in the highlands of Bolivia, we made a lot of leek houses. that was actually me. I wasn't imitating anybody
else. Oh, wow. I totally thought you were a leek house builder for a second.
Yeah.
I got all thrown. Okay, so we talked flavors.
Sure.
You have said
mm-hmm.
that you have an idea. You said this off air that you have an idea for a board game.
I do. Here's the background on it. I think we have talked about how both Paul and I have gotten into playing Catan, Settlers of Catan.
Yes.
And some Carcassonne, so what they call the German board games or German-style board games, which focus on, instead of blowing things up and killing people, more strategic or resource-oriented and even cooperative, like Pandemic is a really big hit. And when we did Joko Cruise Crazy, one of the real highlights was being in the game room and being exposed to all these great games that I'd heard about and some that I may have played on Xbox but had never actually engaged with people. And I did, and it was fun. And, you know, when you have sort of a building type of mind that it's not enough to play things, you want to make things too.
Right.
The back of my mind was sort of on this thing, and I don't know what triggered it off. I was actually reading one of the George R. R. Martin books, and there was some line in there, and it just put something in my head. And I thought,
was it about boiled leather?
It was, and I thought,
was it about a craven man?
I thought, you know, it'd be great, a game where you have to build boiled leather craven men. No, the funny thing is it doesn't have anything to do with the medievals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think about robots, and maybe there's some kind of game where, you know, you're robots and you're building something. And then I thought, well, maybe it's robots on a spaceship. And then I thought, maybe it's robots on a spaceship that is in distress. And then I thought, maybe it's in distress and there are people that they're trying to keep alive. And then I thought, what if it were both cooperative and competitive? So here's the premise. Four spaceships owned by four different companies in the future take off from Earth, and it's the early days of colonization.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these companies specializes in a different resource. So one of them wants to go to the planet of iron. One of them wants to go to the planet of sand, whatever it is. And each of their crews and the equipment on each of these ships is specialized to process whatever that resource is.
Can one of them go to the planet of cotton candy?
It can be anything we want because we're making the game.
That's right. So let's do it. Okay, I want one to be specialize in cotton candy goods.
Okay, so that in your mind, as we go along, that's Team Paul.
I want to go to the planet of sponge sugar.
Awesome. And because you're the sponge sugar company, you can process sponge sugar into energy, which you can then use to build things and power things. All right. These four spaceships, not far out from Earth, and it's the early days of space colonization, so the race is on to get to these planets.
Right.
They collide because these companies were operating in secret, and they all went to the same wormhole, and they just bonked into each other.
Okay.
Because there are wormholes, because it's convenient. And the ships were not destroyed, thankfully. Some people may have been killed, and this is set up. Part of the setup in the game is determining how fucked up the spaceship is. So it'll be mostly cards. I don't know exactly how. Maybe hex tiles. There will be each player's zone, and then as the game goes along, the ship builds out to be able to do things like, you know, more solar panels to get more energy.
Right.
Life support systems. I don't even know what yet. This is just starting in my brain.
More cotton candy stands.
If you're the cotton candy player.
Yeah.
Maybe. But the main thing is, these are artificial intelligences that control each of these four ships that have now decided that they need to band together. Otherwise, their crews will die. And that's the number one thing, is to lose as few people as possible to achieve the mission of landing them on any planet, you know, preferably
right.
their own.
Right.
But everyone loses if all the people die. That's not everybody loses.
Right.
And there are a series of points that can be awarded, like if the people end up on your planet, you get more points, but everybody gets points too. And as the game goes along, there are hazards that come along, and there are benefits where you're forced to decide how to protect the people, but at the same time, you want the people to be in your sphere of influence. And then the other part of the game is charting the course of the ship. Because there are choices, and this would be probably a set board where you decide where the ship's going to go. And that's done cooperatively, and it will depend on, like, how many resources your ship has. Do you have enough to make it all the way to this place over here?
Right.
And, of course, everybody wants to steer the ship towards their own planet because they'll get more points for that. But if they do it in a way that kills the people, everybody loses. So... that's the broad idea. I'm just starting to work out the mechanics of it.
Right. So what we need you people out there to do is we need a working prototype of this game by 1 week from today.
Stat. And I know that there is a space disaster game out there, but it's not like this. Like, I looked it up after I had the basics out there. So don't say, somebody's done that. It's space disaster bot, because there are no robots. And it's cooperative, but I don't think it's competitive. Anyway, my goal is to have a prototype of some type by the time we do the next Joko Cruise Crazy. Because I think that would be an awesome place to see how it actually works with people who are actually really good at games.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
mm-hmm.
Joe Cruz crazy. Ross Mack asked, what positions would we want in a John Hodgman administration?
Ah, yes.
And I'm very excited to say that we have been granted a position in the John Hodgman administration by John Hodgman.
Yes.
And he has dubbed us Secretaries of Cruising.
Yeah.
And that's good, because can we say it, Paul? Can we say it?
We can hint and allude.
We will hint and allude.
And speak cryptically.
That it is less than a complete deal and less of an exact date, but more of a thing that's very likely to happen.
Let's just say pieces are moving on the board, shall we say, for the next event.
And not just for the cotton candy people.
No. So no, yes, things are happening, and calls are being called and answered, and questions are being asked and researched and answered.
So I guess the point is, if you're one of those folks who said, you know, if they are doing it again, you know, I'd save up for it.
Yeah, I would start putting away pennies here and there.
Yeah, we are going to try to keep the price as low as we can, but it's a 7-day cruise. So.
Yeah, it's that's, I think that's as cryptic and elusive. Elusive as we should be about it at this point, because as we say it, you know, nothing is, things are still forming. Nothing is in any way approaching a solid state. Let's just say we're still not gaseous state. What's the other state? Solid, liquid, gas, and
fungus.
Fungus, yes. No. Now I'm forgetting. But let's just say the
plasma.
Gas,
it's a plasma.
Plasma. The gas is starting to condensate.
Well, plasma's in between.
I suppose. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? The Slimer, the ghost. That is the next Joko Cruise crazy. Hasn't been put in a trap yet.
Okay.
But we're aiming our proton packs.
Right, and he's got like hot dogs and stuff coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. But he's not going to get out of the room.
Right, he's like, you're not really scared of him because you know you're going to get him.
Because there's four Ghostbusters here with fully charged proton packs.
And we're totally not going to cross the streams.
Yeah, because that would be a bad thing.
It would be bad. It's Valentine's Day, but honestly, it didn't feel like it. Not like, you know, me and the missus were throwing dishes at each other tonight again. You know, not like that. But I don't know. I've personally never been a very Valentine-y person.
Nor have I.
I mean, I've been a romantic person, but not a Valentine-y person.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's the standard cliche of people talking about how it's such a manufactured holiday.
Well,
which it is, you know, sure. Sometimes there are cliches for a reason.
Yeah.
And we don't begrudge anyone who wants to do something special for Valentine's Day. But, you know, lucky for me, my marriage has been such that we've never really done anything to celebrate Valentine's Day. Or as my wife would sarcastically put it, as she did earlier today on the phone, because every day is like Valentine's Day. She didn't say it in that register, really. I just thought that was my version of a female speaking.
And then did she do that wonderful laugh of hers?
Yes, of course she did. That evil, full-throated belly laugh.
Yeah, yeah, that's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of miss, like, certainly when you talk about the manufacturedness, just the forced idea in school, of course, when you absolutely had to give this stupid, this, you know, I choose you card
to
everybody. But I guess there's a certain charm to that kind of thing. No, there's not. It's hard.
No, it's just a, it's a it's an obligatory march of candy.
See, I was going to, and you know, you and I talked about this before the podcast, sharing a awkward story of romance. But I think I've decided it's too embarrassing.
fair enough. Maybe we'll put up a poll and we'll see if enough people vote that maybe you'll tell the story next podcast.
Because it's not like it's a horrible story. It's just still gut wrenching. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, we don't want you to injure yourself.
No, not with my
your guts should stay decidedly unwrenched.
Yeah, I'll keep my gut just where it is.
Yeah. We could just go with a short podcast tonight, or comparatively short. We're just over the half hour mark here.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I feel like, you know, I was pretty bumming today, actually. So this has cheered me up greatly. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, listening people. It's done the job.
Sure. You know what? The other reason we can keep things a little shorter tonight is we have a few shows that we can announce.
That's right.
A world premiere. They're not even up on the website yet, but they are firm enough that we can announce a few more things. But first of all, on the way to that, of course, we're going to be at PAX in the beginning of March. I believe they're out of 3-day passes at this point, so hopefully you've got yours.
It's PAX East.
PAX East, excuse me. Well, it was. I said East parenthetically, and by parenthetically, I mean inaudibly.
Yes.
So we will be there. And then, in the end of March, we have a number of shows coming up. We're debuting a new or new-ish thing that we are calling Nerds and Music, which you may feel free to think of as a more music-centric mini Wootstock style performance show of us and some friends of ours. Things are still coalescing a bit, so we're not 100% positive of who's going to be guesting, but we can say a few things. And in fact, although we haven't, just before we started this podcast, we were trying to confirm one particular person.
Yes.
And I haven't heard back from him yet. So what I'm going to do is we're going to say his name. And if he doesn't confirm by the time I put this podcast up, I'm going to bleep his name out. So on Wednesday, March 23rd, we're going to be at the Triple Door in Seattle. And on Friday, the 25th, we're going to be at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. And at both of those shows, our fellow performers are going to be Nerdfighter extraordinaire Hank Green.
Uh-huh.
And human smile and all around awesome dude and sketchy dude Mike Furman.
Yeah.
And those shows are going to kick some arse.
So, I'm sorry, you still have more of the Nerds and Music
show? No, actually, that's it on the Nerds and Music for right now. Hopefully, we're going to have more.
Then I will say about that.
Yes.
If you have heard the legend of the beginning of Wootstock and those first shows in San Francisco and always said, oh, man, you know, oh, I bet it was like, you know, flowers came out of everybody's ears and everybody got butterbeer.
oh, man. Oh, do I want a butterbeer right now?
Yeah. Can you picture that? Having a butterbeer with flowers coming out your ears?
Oh,
this is your chance to rectify that. You can be first Nerds and Music.
Can be in on the ground floor of Nerds and Music.
That's right. Who knows how high this stock can go? The potential is limitless.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you can say, I was there when it all started.
With your eight arms and your brain in the cloud, you're like, yeah, I was there. What good did it do me?
Yes. Now, the other thing I will show that I do have to be a bit more cagey about, because we don't have full confirmation on this yet. But on Tuesday, March 29th, we are going to be at Largo at the Coronet in Los Angeles. We are hopefully and 90% probably going to have an awesome guest at that show as well. We cannot say whom yet until it becomes official. And if by the time this podcast goes up, it has been made official, we'll put that information in the website listing for this podcast. But it's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah. Is that it for that's the horizon for now.
Yeah, that's certainly the horizon.
We have also lined up some guests who we will probably be interviewing for the podcast in the coming weeks and months. Again, that's just kind of a teaser.
Yep.
I'm Storm.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to say other than, nope, I guess that's it. So I am Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Hodor, Hodor, Hodor.
Go do things.